Well, poor old Kevin Walters, he had a really rough day yesterday. He held two media conferences in the space of only 10 minutes. One to say Matt Gillette, their star forward, was going to be given right up until game time. Then the poor bugger had to come back 10 minutes later and say, you know what, guys, he's no good. The groin's no good. He's out. Ethan Lowe comes into our lineup. Good morning to you, Dean Ritchie, from the Daily Telegraph. It's hard enough to get a press conference with the Queensland, let alone two in the space of 10 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that quite farcical scenes essentially out there at ANZ before their captain's run. I did hear Kev saying, we're going into battle and we don't give away our secrets. So it's quite clear who's back in camp. Bradley Charles Stubbs, who didn't go to Perth, I might add, when they got beaten, but is now back in camp with Kev.
And oh, there you go.
You can tell his demeanour straight away has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. Has it been confirmed that Ethan Lowe, one, has come into the squad and will start? Because they did bring Dylan Napa into the squad and he trained with the Queenslanders yesterday.
Yeah, no, as far as I know, Loz, certainly Lowe is in the squad. He's been handed his jumper by Matt Gillette, as I understand. But Kevin Walters was keeping things very close to his chest with the old chestnut of, you will find out 1 hour before kickoff. So still a few issues there, but, you know. Does it really matter these days they play these
they
games?
Don't care, do
Who
they?
Cares?
Who cares about a secret training session and who's in your lineup? They don't care. They prepare for all of that.
It's very dated, TK, that kind of logic. I just think we've gone past
that. What about run hard, tackle hard?
Mm.
Well, Queensland need to do that. They didn't do it in game two.
Fifita will be in their starting lineup. Young David Fifita will be in that starting lineup. But, you know, you always know a coach is on the back foot when you lose somebody. It just gives another young bloke an opportunity.
That means
up.
He's unhappy because he didn't want to give it to him in the first place. Otherwise, he would have picked him.
Well, what about New South Wales? They've got a better team now, courtesy of injuries, than they had when they selected the side.
Clemmer starting gives New South Wales, in my eyes, a better looking side than game two. Jake Trbojevic will drop back to the back row. Saifidi will start and Paul Vaughan will come off the bench. Look, tonight will be about Mitchell Pearce. I don't think there's any other way we can look at it. Win, lose or draw, the headlines tomorrow will be Pearce's redemption, Pearce has missed out again, or what Pearce did in the game. It's not fair on Mitchell, I get it, but that's the way the media works. It's been a bit of a circus around Mitchell all week. That will continue tonight. And I said the other day, I really like Mitchell as a bloke. He always fronts up to the media. Yeah. He's entitled to say to the media, you blokes can go and get nicked. You bagged me for years. But you know what? He always fronts up. And for that, I always have a lot of respect for him as a bloke.
We had a caller, I think it was Jimmy this morning.
And he's a good bloke too.
And I think he hit the nail on the head when he said, it's not only about Mitchell Pearce. He said it'll be the other number seven. So it'll be Daly Cherry Evans as well, the story, whether Queensland win or lose. So both halfbacks go into this game with plenty to win and plenty to gain and plenty to lose.
I guess that's what pressure you play under when you are the halfback. It's a bit like the quarterback in the NFL, win, lose or draw. Yeah. You're the man. But if someone else makes a mistake tonight, it won't necessarily be glossed over, but it may not be in bold print on the back page of the papers tomorrow. But if Mitchell does, and look, he's trained well. Laurie, you know what Mitchell's like as a bloke. He's fairly laid back.
Yeah.
He's looked quite relaxed all week. I spoke to Greg Alexander yesterday. He said within a few hours of coming to camp, he looked at the playbook. He'd spoken to Freddie. He'd spoken to Joey. And it was a very seamless transition back into the side, and having James Maloney next to him obviously helps.
Yeah, I think he'll play well. My only concern, and I think I said it yesterday, is that moment with 10 to go, if it's still close, what's his mindset going to be then? Whether he has those moments flooding back in his mind about what's happened in the past, or whether he wants to go on and own the result of this game, whether it's a win or whether it's a loss, whether that might affect him. Now, I don't know. Only Mitch can answer that, and he'll answer that.
I mean, it would be impossible for him. It's not human to think he's not going to run out that race and onto that ground and have some head noise. And just let's hope they get a good positive start, get a good positive
start. They get away
start,
to a good
he'll
start.
Have a positive game.
Yeah.
If you're under the pump, well, everyone's world comes crashing down sometimes.
Do we think tonight, if he can lead New South Wales to victory, that he can rewrite his own personal history in terms of state of origin. Do a lot of those losses get pushed now into the darkness, and Mitchell will be remembered for the bloke that led New South Wales to Game 3 in 2019?
No.
Or will that maligned...
Some blokes just don't like him. Yeah. You know, it wasn't his fault before. Mm. He still carries the can.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's a good story that you can say what's happened in the past is over now and you just move forward. But for Mitchell, I think it's just about being back in that arena, just showing people that he's capable of holding up and standing up to the pressure and delivering on the big occasion. And for me, I want to see New South Wales win for a number of reasons, and one of them is for Mitchell Pearce to put his hand up and say, you know what, I can win at this level. Yeah.
James Tedesco is another interesting story tonight, guys. I said to Laurie yesterday, he's a great player, but at the rate he's going and at the rate he is improving as a player defensively and offensively, I think he's getting into that level of modern-day greatness in terms of Gary Jacks, Graham Edies, Gary Belchers. I think Teddy in 2 or 3 years' time could sit very, very comfortably in that category.
Oh, he's a great player. He's a very good player and on the verge of greatness, I think, James Tedesco. The hardest thing for Teddy, I suppose, will be the emergence of Tom Trbojevic. And I know that Tom can play in another position, but if all of a sudden, if Tommy continues to play as well as he does...
Yeah, but you still pick Teddy as fullback and Tom plays somewhere else.
But then sometimes, you know, you might get an injury and he might miss a series and then all of a sudden the whole thing changes. And then Tommy establishes himself and goes even better at fullback. There's no door open then for James, and someone else establishes themselves as a centre. So things change pretty quickly, but he's certainly on the trajectory at the moment.
James. I spoke to Boyd Cordner about him yesterday, and Boyd made a very valid point. He said he's the toughest player I've played with. And I pulled up Boyd and I said, mate, when you say tough, you don't generally equate toughness to Teddy because he's such a great attacking player. He said just his selflessness in defence, how when we're coming out from our own line, you know, he's first to stick his hand up for a carry where a lot of people won't do that, a lot of other fullbacks. He said he's just a one tough hombro, which we don't think of when we talk about Teddy because of his brilliance.
He's got great resilience too, James Tedesco. I mean, I think it was his first game of NRL when he did his ACL, I think. Yeah. Only lasted a couple of runs.
Looked like his career could be curtailed.
And he has to monitor his training loads. But he's as fit as any other fullback in the game. He covers as much mileage as any other fullback in the game. And he's now a constant threat wherever he is on the park. I mean, he can be a constant threat in the opposition 20, but he can also be bringing the ball off his own line, whether it's a kick return or getting into dummy half and running or just supporting the forwards through the middle of the ruck. So he's certainly taken his game to another level, and defensively that's where he's improved.
It's a little bit of a shame, as we just curtail our Origin talk, that Origin's actually on tonight. We've got a bloke playing his 400th game, something I never thought I'd actually see. And then you throw in another 100 rep games on top of that. We're talking about Cameron Smith. You mentioned toughness and resilience. This bloke has missed under 10 matches with injury throughout his entire career, and he plays in the middle of the park. So when you want about toughness and resilience, and then you throw talent in, you talk about Cameron Smith, then it's against a really desperate Cronulla side. Then you got Benji Marshall playing 300 matches as well. Gavin Cooper. They've hardly got a mention off Nobby's, have they?
It's a shame for Benji, isn't it? 300 is an enormous achievement, but 400 for Cameron. The thing I find about Cam, men, is that his game is as good as it's ever been right now. It's not like he's tailing off in his career at all. In fact, you could argue he's actually in better nick now than what he was 5-6 years ago. But he's just an extraordinary player with an extraordinary ability to retain such a level of excellence for so many years.
Yeah. What about in the press conference when he said he's got no thoughts of retiring? He might play for another year, another 2 years.
I hope he
He's definitely contracted for another year.
I don't want him to go too far. The rugby league can be a brutal game when it comes to catching up on you very, very quickly, as you'd know Laurie better than anyone. It can just hit you like a sledgehammer. And I'd hate to think that he just goes that extra year, albeit there's no indication whatsoever now that Cameron is slowing up in any way, shape or form. But after next year, I'd like to think maybe that could be it. He can go out on his own terms and go out the legend that he deserves to be.
Yeah, but if he's still playing well and he's contributing and having an impact on a game, why should he retire? He doesn't need to.
But if he goes that extra year, Laurie, and things do go pear-shaped, it'd be a shame, wouldn't it, to see him go out limping out of the game with a lot of injuries and low impact.
What's that?
It's another $1 million.
Yeah, exactly right. You do that too, do you? No, you'd be going all right if you could knock back $1 million.
Oh. Hey? I'd love $1 million. I rang Laurie during the week.
Oh, please.
I told him.
Looking for a loan.
I told him I was doing a story about Cordner being the only bloke in many years to go back-to-back title wins.
No, in Badiris.
Yeah, and I didn't mention his number. I said, Badiris has done it, so has Freddie. Oh.
No.
The reaction was throwing pens. What about me? I did it too. I said, mate, the records don't show that. I did it 92-3. You blokes are trying to write me out of history.
Who do you believe, Terry?
Mate, it's true. Did you not get irritable and uppity?
But you went back to
that. Please, Dean. What's that?
He went back. I was just keeping him out of the story.
Dean was just sort of throwing a little bit of bait out there, and I played along with him. Played along with him for a bit, and then I said, "Dean, you know. I don't have to mention it, Dean. You know."
It wasn't that calm, TK.
Do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? So that's Cameron Smith, Benji. Congratulations to him, and Gavin Cooper you mentioned as well. So huge milestones for them. But I think it's D-Day weekend for Sean Johnson at the Cronulla Sharks. It's not often you see a superstar get hooked by their rookie coach, John Morris. Big call for him. We're even speculating you'd have to shove him at fullback to make him run the ball. We chatted with Aaron Woods, who said he's been bouncing into training. His attitude's been fantastic, Sean Johnson, and he's not the only bloke who's got to lift his game. I think we all know that about Cronulla.
It's no doubt Sean Johnson's confidence is down. The thing I found extraordinary was that with the game on the line... They're the blokes you would want out there, a bloke who can create. I think he brought on Capewell, didn't he?
No, he brought on young Flanagan.
But I'm saying Johnson would have been a bloke you'd think, I'll keep him out there because he can create something.
If I've gone 72 minutes with him, I'm going to last the last eight with him.
So I'm not suggesting Johnny Morris is telling us porky pies, but I just thought there might be something a little deeper than just blaming goal kicking when you drag off an $800,000 a season player. With five to go when the game is on the line.
I think there was a lot more. I think the reason was that he wasn't doing what he needed to do, and that was to run the ball and put some doubt into the Broncos' defensive line. But, he's lacking, obviously, a little bit of confidence. What about, quickly, mate, what's happening at the Bulldogs?
Yeah, Dean Pay's still under contract for next year, but I think you'll find that the Bulldogs might have had a quiet chat to Justin Holbrook. He's the St Helens coach, I believe. Hasn't re-signed over there. There is some interest in bringing him back next year, even to work underpay, perhaps, and then maybe an elevation into the top coaching job. So Holbrook also being looked at by the Gold Coast Titans. So apparently he's a bit of a coach on the rise. So keep an eye out for him.
Yep. Canterbury forward, they're targeting?
I think you'll find that Jake Turpin at the Broncos is someone that Newcastle might look at too, Laurie, as well as the Warriors. Turpin. Herman Sasa. The Bulldogs looking at him as a possible recruitment for next year. Of course, he's playing with the Newcastle Knights at the moment.
Final prediction for tonight?
I've got Blues by 12. I've got Jake Trbojevic, first try scorer, for a bit of value. And I've got Mitchell Pearce as man of the match. Provided Laurie doesn't give it to a Queenslander again.
Well, we don't discuss that with Loz because he's got a vote. Billy Slater's odds-on favourite at the moment. Good on you, Dean.
Thanks, boys.
Dean Ritchie from the Daily Telegraph.